This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All requests Cinco de Mayo. Shime's running out of songs, so... Friday when we were driving back from Springfield, I was listening, as I always do, to the Jones and Keefe show. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about celebrities that they're most concerned with. And Bill Belichick was on their list. But Bieber did not make the top five on either one of their lists.
Wow.
Which was shocking.
That is pretty shocking.
He's like a top three for me right now.
He is?
Yeah.
Beeps. He's hanging out with Sexy Red, partying up, living his best life.
And unrelated news, P. Diddy goes on trial today.
Yes. Yeah. Is that going to be televised?
I don't know.
I've got a lot of court TV right now. I mean,
all right. Well, you got Brian Koberger. I think there's a hearing in that baby today.
Yeah,
as well.
But that trial doesn't hit till August 11th, so okay. I've got a bit before
you
that.
Have time, yeah.
But we've got expert witnesses today and Reed.
Look at their list.
What?
Keith's like the people most worried about.
Yeah,
he has McAfee and Josh Allen.
Why are we worried about them?
Yeah, Andrew Holloway.
He was worried about Josh Allen because his fiance is going to be very popular in film and movies.
Okay.
And maybe, may find somebody better. I don't know. I don't remember what he was saying about Pat McAfee.
Oh, it's probably that lawsuit against him right now.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Britney Spears is a good one.
Drew Holiday.
Brittany, I think everybody... Well, he was worried about Drew Holiday, whether he was ever going to come back or not.
Okay.
But Drew Holiday ready to go tonight. So,
yeah.
And Jones and Keefe coming up at 10. We got to get back to the rest of the news.
Another day, another creepy story.
The Greg Hill Morning Show presents...
You think I am a creepy guy?
How creepy is it?
It was probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Can I put the camera in the lady toilet?
And it's kind of creepy, which is nice.
Back up, you creep.
An assistant admissions director for Emmanuel College here in Boston, 29-year-old Jacob Henriques, was arrested on Friday after he was accused of soliciting an underage prospective student for sex. He allegedly met several students that were touring the campus and meeting with faculty, and after accessing some of their personal information, reached out to a few different ones.
What? He was like doing tours at a college.
Correct.
For prospective students?
Correct.
And then...
He's the assistant admissions director.
Like, got their digits and
Correct.
Reached out to them?
Their cell phone numbers. Started texting them, sending inappropriate photos and videos. Would not say who he was or how he got their information. But he was offering to pay for some fun. One girl was 17. He offered her $400. He's been charged with attempted sex trafficking of a minor. Here's one student's reaction on BZ.
It's crazy that it happens in, like, especially such a small school, in, a Catholic school, too.
Yeah.
And I would like just all the people writing about it. I have seen this many places. They write a Boston College employee, but with a lowercase for the college. Can we just put it in another way?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We've had enough issues at BC. We don't need to act like there's more here. But
Also, to clear up the rich concern for Josh Allen's fiance,
It's because a texter, thank you, is informing me of this, but because she's working closely with Michael B. Jordan, and there's off-screen eyes made, or on-screen eyes.
Yeah, they had some great chemistry.
Good chemistry.
Yeah. They did?
Yeah. But I think he's off the slopes now. His new little bae that he's with is...
Who, Michael B. Jordan?
Yeah, yeah. I think he's
also a babe. Like, I think it would be very easy to have on-screen chemistry with him, no matter who you are.
But you brought up, though, was it you that brought it up that a lot of the times that the on-stream chemistry leads to some stuff off?
Yeah, but Hailee Steinfeld is not new to fame or anything like that. Like, I think that that they will be fine.
Yeah, and Mike and Josh Allen makes way more than both of them. So, I mean, and he will throughout his career. I mean, they're talented actors, but...
What was the movie Michael B. Jordan was that was based on a true story where he was saving the wrongly incarcerated?
Mercy.
Great
Just
movie.
Mercy, I believe it was, with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
That was a really good movie.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Yeah, that was a really good movie. But
the thing about Sinners, now that both of you have seen it and Rich loves it, it's the fact that he plays... Twins.
Yeah.
That's impressive. For you, that just puts him over the top acting-wise.
To be able to do that and be in two shots. Tom Hardy was the only one who did it that I really...
Lindsay Lohan.
Well,
thank you.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that. Okay, throw Lindsay Lohan.
Thank you.
Tom Hardy did it in Legends, but Michael B. Jordan...
The only other person to do it.
Do it at that level.
I will say, if I could critique one thing, it was a great movie. I wish that the twins had a bit more of polar opposite personalities, because the only way you could tell the difference was their color hat, really, for the entire thing, because it's the same person.
They
look identical. Their personalities were different, but not different enough. Like,
way
I needed,
different. Stack was the outgoing, loud one who kind of had fun all the time, and Smoke was more of the cerebral, like, he thought everything out, he planned everything out.
Okay, don't ruin it for everybody.
Oh, my bad. I forgot about it. I just got into the moment real quick.
I just got very confused until, like, romance entered the chat. I was getting confused of who was who at different parts of the movie. All right, bad news for the other match between Greg and Shime, the Grand Theft Auto 6 showdown.
Yes.
We're going to have to wait a bit longer. The release is being pushed back. Rockstar Games is saying it will now be released May 26th of 2026.
Another year?
Yeah. Wow. It originally was slated to come out this fall.
Yeah.
They didn't provide specifics on what led to this pushback.
Greg, do you want a bold prediction?
Yeah.
This game's never coming out.
It's been 10 years.
It's never coming out.
It's definitely coming out.
They're just teasing us.
If it takes 10 years to come out with the 6th version of a video game, there's something that is screwed up about
it. It's like the Marvel Universe saying they're going to come out with a Gambit movie and then just never actually do it.
But they've already put up, like, on social media, they've already put up, like, footage from the game.
Yes. Yes, they have.
Yeah, so if it's already made, what is the pushback?
I don't know, but that's why I think it ultimately will come out, Greg, because there's already, like, you know, a lot of footage from the game, so it looks like it's done.
We're going to speaking of pushback, this weather may lead to a pushback when it comes to the match.
Ugh.
Just as a heads up.
What do you mean?
Well, because I literally just got the new sticks.
The sticks, yep.
I need to test drive those babies. I got to get at least 2 rounds in. This week is going to be a no-go.
Washout.
So
why don't you go to Topgolf?
Well, I'll be there tonight, Curtis.
I
just am really excited. I'm sorry. I'm looking forward to it. I don't want it delayed.
What about this weekend? The weather's supposed to be nice this weekend.
It's not enough time for Greg to break
that's okay.
in the sticks.
I mean, as long as I can get... We were targeting May 19th or 20th. Yeah, I mean, as long as I get 2 rounds in on the new TaylorMades, then I will be ready to go.
What do you have, like the QI10 or the Smoke or something?
The same clubs that Rory and Scotty use.
Oh. By the way, Scotty, what a weekend for him.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
All right, anyway, so our match on Grand Theft Auto delayed until May of 2026.
Boo.
Okay.
We have some ice cream rage in the news. James Wicker, a 61-year-old man in Ohio, was arrested after he stormed the counter at Dairy Queen and assaulted a female employee because his order was first wrong and then was taking too long to remake. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, you can see this go down. We can hear from employee Ariona Nelson on WTOV.
He started screaming, and so then the lady was like, there's no need to scream, which was the coworker that got attacked, and then eventually he came back there and assaulted her.
Yeah.
But they got him in the end, it looks
yes,
like.
Yes, they got him, and the worker came back the next day for her right. shift.
What?
I got him, though. They
what is wrong with people like that? How old is the person working there? Like 12?
Right. Yeah, they
like,
look young.
Why is a grown-ass adult assaulting somebody over ice cream?
It's terrible.
And I love ice cream.
Yeah.
But my question, and whenever it happens, I don't know what to do. What is the proper thing to do at a restaurant, not Dairy Queen, when your order comes and it is not what you ordered? Because they always say, well, get a new one in the oven or get a new one prepared.
Yeah.
But that's 20 minutes and everybody around the table has to wait.
Right.
What do you do?
No, you just let everybody eat up and then you get yours because you want to be polite. You don't want it to go back there
right.
and they add a little special extra sauce. You want to be polite. Be mean after you've ate it.
Did
and then
this
everything.
Happen to you recently, Curtis?
No, I just have always, I'm fascinated by that because it's like, there's no easy answer. The restaurant didn't do it on purpose. They make a mistake.
Just be polite.
But everybody's getting their meal at the same time. You're sitting there. Do you just power through?
No.
Yeah. You let everybody else eat.
You just kindly inform them that the sauce is broken.
Right. That was our first time out, you
yeah.
and me. And then just say, bring it back, otherwise I'll blast you on the radio.
I don't like confrontation, so I wait till I get home and then complain to whatever internet service they have so that I get a free meal next time.
Oh, okay. So you do the... You do a strongly worded email.
It doesn't have to be a confrontation,
no.
though.
No.
Like, if you just inform them nicely.
Sorry, this isn't what I ordered.
Generally, they go and they go and fix it.
What is your blizzard of choice at DQ?
Oreo.
Oreo all day.
Is it Oreo all day long?
I like the cookie dough.
Or sometimes I'll go a little Oreo Reese's.
Yeah.
Oh, Reese's is good, too. Yeah. I like
Courtney's
the Reese's.
Cooking.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had a Snickerdoodle one years ago when I was down in Florida. It was the greatest thing I've ever eaten.
You know who, because you can't, there's not a Dairy Queen that is that close to Southie. Like, there's one on Route 1, I think, but that takes a bit. Village Pizza in Southie, they have, like, not a blizzard machine, but essentially the same thing.
Mm,
it is.
That's a trademark.
No, okay,
are
so it's a machine.
Are they trying to infer that it's the same as
no,
the Blizzard?
No, they are not. I'm just trying to connect the two. Same thing with like a McFlurry. Same type of idea.
Right.
It is so good. I got it the other day.
Really?
And they have every type of topping that you can throw in there.
You know who does the best? Sonic. Sonic has.
Never been to Sonic.
Sonic has like 60 different varieties that you can Blizzard style.
Yeah, Blizzard style. That's the way to put it.
People miss things that we're doing on purpose. They're asking for a douche move ruling on referring to your golf clubs as your sticks. Yes, we are doing that on purpose, Chime and I. But thank you. All right, what's next?
Former Panthers and Ravens receiver Steve Smith Sr. has been sued in North Carolina under a home wrecker law.
Oh, boy.
So we talked about this when it first came out in February. I believe we were in Florida for spring training. Smith is accused of having an extended affair with a member of the Baltimore Ravens marching band. Husband found out about it. The text messages were explicit. The civil complaint was filed on Tuesday, and Antonio Martinez is seeking at least $100,000 for Smith's alleged interference in his marriage.
Now, how do you feel about this kind of law? Because it exists in some states. The wife is the one who's off smashing him.
Right.
Like, that's not...
Sue the wife, not Steve Smith.
Yeah, that's the way I
Correct.
Look at it.
I agree.
You know, they're both in the wrong, but listen, she made it a point to step out. I mean, he technically stepped out, too, on his marriage, but I think that it's more of it should be... You should be mad at your spouse,
right.
not the person who's
right.
done it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the way I see it.
Okay.
And we're going to end in Florida.
And now.
It's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of.
Come to Miami.
Florida.
Florida.
Not like the rest of us.
The people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns.
On WEEI.
Oh, they don't close Florida.
Tampa Bay area realtors are on high alert about a pattern they've noticed while on the job. So a man has been using fake house tour bookings or drop in on open houses that he sees online with female agents. And he makes contact with their feet. More than a half dozen women have come forward saying that this has happened to them. All are explaining or describing the same man. He has not been identified. There is no suspect, but they want more security on these listings and on these open houses.
Yeah.
We can hear from one realtor, Angela Julian.
He pointed down at my feet and was like, oh, you have an ant on your shoe. And I was like, where? You know, and I'm frantic trying to get the ant off my shoe. And I'm like, where? And he's like, right there, right there. And he bends down and he starts unbuckling my shoe and caressing my foot. And I just thought that that was really weird. At the same time, he's fidgeting with his phone, petting my foot, fidgeting phone. And I think he's trying to take some type of a video up my skirt. It was really alarming.
Jesus. Gross. God. Gross.
People love the feet.
Yeah,
you know what? We need Alcatraz just for that guy.
Right.
Foot fetish.
And he's using the ant as the reason for in contact with the feet.
Smart.
Oh, God.
You got
that's what he's doing to all of these women.
Oh.
It's like Rex Ryan. He loves the feet.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Really, really scary.
And then he's disappointed. If the broker shows up for the open house and it's a dude, he's like, all right, never mind.
Just gotta be careful out there.
Yeah.
Right, thank you, Bobes. You do have to be careful out there.
Just gotta be careful out there.
Great advice.
All right. Is that it on
That's
the news?
That's it on the news.
All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Here is Courtney now with what is trending this hour.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
What's trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Red Sox dropped 1 to Minnesota 5-4. The Sox were up 3-1 heading into the 7th, so another blown late lead by the bullpen and dropping that series. Now, Garrett Crochet's been praised by fans, showing his toughness. He had a close call of taking a 100-mile-per-hour ball off the face. Here's what Alex Cora had to say about the ball swiping Crochet's nose from last night's Nissan Red Sox post-game show.
Yeah, the ball hit him. The ball hit him in the nose. So he's okay. Obviously grinded through the last one. And the way we were lined up, you know, it just made sense. You know, 90-something pitches, that happened. So move on to the next level. We weren't able to finish it.
Talk about dodging a bullet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can we just go back to Bob's advice?
The guy, be careful out there.
The guy fell off a roof. What do you have to be careful for?
Just gotta be careful out there.
Well, be careful when you're
gonna
like
randomly have this urge to jump.
Just gotta be careful out there.
No, I mean people. Like, this happens a lot. Yeah. I mean, we just saw it at a baseball game. Somebody.
Just gotta be careful out there.
He's still in critical condition.
You gotta be careful if you're Garrett Crochet.
Just gotta be careful out there.
Thank you, Bob.
Surprised with all of the roof decks in Southie and all the parties on them that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, you definitely think so.
Yep.
I used to go up on Bobby O'Brien's roof and we used to drink 40s. Gotta be careful.
Really?
Just gotta be careful out there.
Where was that?
In East Boston.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta be careful when you're
careful.
Well, you deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. The Sox off tonight before turning their attention to the Rangers, who are here in Boston. That series starts tomorrow. One of my favorite WAG influencers in town because her husband plays on the Rangers. So I'll be following along there. Claire Coove Smith, Josh Smith's wife.
You were so close to being a WAG.
No, I did. I really wasn't. I really wasn't. No.
Yeah, you were.
I really wasn't. Over the weekend, the Sox lost Tristan Cassis to a left patellar tendon tear. The Sox released a statement yesterday saying that he underwent a successful left patellar tendon repair.
Just point of correctness. Is it patella or patellar?
It's with an R at the end.
It is. Okay.
Yeah.
I always thought it was patella.
But is that with an accent?
I'm not a doctor.
So the bone is patella, but I believe the tendon, because it's like a possessive thing, it's patellar tendon.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but I believe that's correct.
Yeah, I'm sure you're right. You're right about everything.
Right.
Sure. I knows.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
My dad has been a nurse for like 30 years. So,
wow.
Little that medical stuff rubs off.
Really?
Wow. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea. I didn't know that, Fokker.
Okay, little Fokker.
The Celtics kick off round 2 tonight against the Knicks at the TD Garden. Clean injury report heading into this one. Tip is at 7. NBA playoff games. Last night, the Warriors take the series against the Rockets, taking game 7, 103-89 to move on to the second round. And kicking off the second round, the Pacers took game 1 against the Cavs, 121-112 in Cleveland. As for the NHL playoff games last night, Winnipeg takes the series against the Blues. They won in double overtime, 4-3. The NHL draft lottery is tonight. Depending on the outcome, the Bruins can pick between number 1 to number 7. The Bees have the 5th best shot at landing the top pick. And let love bloom in a new Subaru. SubaruofNewEngland.com. Explore up to 581 miles on a single tank in Subaru's most fuel-efficient Forester ever, the 2025 Subaru Forester Hybrid. Learn more at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Fun fact, Greg. Cinco de Mayo is the day I arrived at rehab. What a day.
Was it really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
What a beautiful... I sat down. I'm like, why is there, like, this Mexican salad and stuff? And they're like, happy Cinco de Mayo. I was like, you just took my aftershave out of my bag because it had alcohol in it. 55 degrees raining. It's only going to be 57 this afternoon.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that stage gets a little bit bigger for Kristaps Porzingis and the Celtics this evening.
Yep.
And game number one, 7 o'clock. And I don't know. When you look at the Celtics team and you know, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, but adding Porzingis and like the way he approaches everything with like a giant smile on his face can be underrated when it comes to the success they've had.
Yeah,
Undervalued when it comes to that.
I thought that was the biggest turning point for them to win a championship last year. Even though he was out for a lot of the playoffs, the games that he did come back and he played in, he was really impactful, and he was really impactful for you throughout the season, which puts you in a good position. But when he's out there, you're a completely different team because he can give you a little bit of a low post game, and he can stretch out the defense with his shooting. And, you know, it adds to the rivalry because he's going back to the place that drafted him in New York, and, you know, he was viewed as the original unicorn over there.
I also think for him, he's had now two postseasons where he hasn't been fully healthy. So I'm sure that there's an aspect to Kristaps where he's saying, okay, now I finally feel good in my body. I want to show Boston like what I can really do. It's perfect timing for him to really hit a stride. So I think that's probably why you're seeing him smiling so much. He doesn't care if he gets, you know, a split open eyebrow or a hurt nose. He's just excited and happy to be out there.
Curtis, you said sweep on this, correct?
Sweeparoo.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, defensively, Magic, better basketball team.
Yeah, way better than the Knicks.
Knicks have a little more length.
Mm-hmm. And they got more
as
offense.
As we say, more offense, yes.
Yeah.
But their fans are all really short. Have you ever seen courtside? It's like Ben Stiller at 5'6", trying to jump and high five
Spike
someone.
Lee, yeah, they got some a short fan base. But, New York has a better offense, you know, with...
Than Orlando.
Yes.
But there are guys, I mean... Kathmandu struggling a lot.
Yeah, he's up and down.
At least in the last series. They were three of those games, they had to marshal a fourth quarter comeback to win them.
Yeah, the Celtics won't be like Detroit in the sense where if you look at Detroit in that series, they blew games at the end that they clearly should have won and should have been able to win that series. The Celtics, you know, they'll give you some, they'll let you get back into some games if they'll get a lead on you, but they generally close out pretty good. So they're not going to do the same, make the same mistakes that Detroit made at the end of games. So I wouldn't be shocked if they swept, like Curtis said. I just go gentleman sweep because I feel like generally you give one game away, bad shooting. Yeah. And
Jason Tatum averaged 36 last three games.
Yep.
Seems like the wrist is healed up and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I did see Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce on their podcast revisiting the lack of respect that Jason Tatum gets and suggesting that he has been so far the best player
mm-hmm.
in the NBA playoffs. I don't know if you agree or not. I will let you hear. Shime, do you have that? I'll let you hear the way they discussed it and see if you agree.
Why nobody talking about what Jason Tatum doing?
Right. You see what he did since 220? Man, I looked at that. You saw that?
He like first, second, first, third, first.
He like arguably right now, as much as we talking about him.
Yeah.
Arguably right now, the best player playing the best in the playoffs.
Of the new Jew.
Man, that's what I'm saying.
When you go and you say what you want to be like to a college right now, I want to be like Tatum. I want that career.
Man.
Early.
That's what I'm saying.
Think about that. He got experience early.
It's time to start putting some more respect on his name. We can't just skip over him.
Yeah, but he won't get it until we kind of talked about this last week at some point in time. He won't get it until he does it in the Eastern Conference Finals, which then leads them to the NBA Finals, and then has to do it in the NBA Finals. Because until he, you know, or even do it in the NBA Finals, because let's say he's not great in the Eastern Conference Finals and they win, and then he's great in the NBA Finals, then I think that's where he ultimately has to do it.
Meaning that he has to be the MVP of the finals in order to...
He has to be the MVP and just... And when you look at the way the Celtics won their championship, it was Jason Tatum was a major part of it.
Right? He has to make sure that in the second round, too, he has numbers like he had in the first. Because the first round, people can still point to the first game and the fact that he sat out. And people like Greg were upset about the entire thing, thought it was a soft move by him. So he needs to not just go through the first round without any games that he was actually playing in where he had a bad game. But in the second round, moving forward, he's got to do the same thing.
But even then, Courtney, that won't matter. Because if he's great in the second round, then they'll say, all right, show us in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then if he's okay in the Eastern Conference Finals and they get to the NBA Finals, that's where we're going to judge him. Mm-hmm. We're going to judge him on the NBA Finals and what he does in the NBA Finals. And that's kind of, and he won't get the credit that he deserves until he shows them in the fact that he was the best player on the team and there was no, like, maybe you have, it's cool to have one bad game. Every superstar does it, but you can't be like a couple bad games and you're not the guy throughout the series. So that's what it's all going to matter.
Has there ever been a one seed that's been so rightly just completely dismissed like the Cavs have been? I mean, they were excellent in the regular season. They mm-hmm. beat the Celtics in the regular season. They dominated the Heat in round one. And last night they lose to the Pacers. And it's like, I don't know how anybody would think that that team has a chance in hell of getting through the Celtics.
But Curtis, I agree. I don't think there's many people that think that they can beat the Celtics.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, they're one of those teams that, you know, I love Donovan Mitchell. I think he's an amazing player. But they're one of them teams now. They're at the point of like, all right, you got to show that you can win on the big stage and you can win in the Eastern Conference Finals and get to the NBA Finals.
You, coach, are being accused of a dumb narrative.
What's that?
By a texter. Saying that Jason Tatum had better numbers than Brown across the board in the finals last year, and so it's a dumb narrative to suggest that he needs to be MVP of the finals in order to get the respect on his name that he should have.
Well, why doesn't he have the? He did have better numbers than Jaylen Brown.
I think he does have respect on his name.
Nah, He doesn't. He had better numbers. He should have won the MVP last year in the finals. You know, we can argue it, but he's the only player in NBA history that led their team scoring, assist, rebounds throughout the playoffs and NBA finals and did not win finals MVP. So until he gets that, there are going to be people, I don't do it, but there are going to be people, a lot of people who say, oh, he's not, he's on a good team. He, you know, we were doing it, and Courtney's right, we were doing it at the beginning of this, of the playoffs.
So who do you think, give me, tell me who gets more respect than he does.
Nationally?
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards, SGA, Luka Doncic.
Luka, you think Luka, all I hear about Luka is that he doesn't play any defense. And it's correct. So I don't know that he gets more respect.
And that he's fat.
Yeah, I mean,
but we had to deal with him getting all the respect in the world before last year's finals. Like, they kept saying how much better he was than Tatum last year.
Yeah, but then you watch and you see the effect that the player has, and then you can alter your opinion. Do you think a lot of people are looking at, I mean, Curtis felt like adding Luka meant you were going to be in the finals as the Lakers.
Right.
And so.
Still has a shot if all the teams get sick.
But that's
not. I mean, I don't. When it comes to respect on somebody's name, I think it's diminished a little bit on Luka.
It has diminished, and I think.
But
it's...
Can I just jump in here,
go ahead.
Greg? If the Celtics win again, and it's back to back, Jason Tatum will be the only best player on a team to win consecutive titles to never have an MVP in the history of the NBA.
Yeah,
he is not discussed at all as Kobe or Jordan or LeBron or any of those guys at their peak, even Steph Curry. So we can go back and forth as to why. We can talk about Jaylen Brown and the great roster, but he is a unicorn in that sense. He is not he shouldn't be in the pile of all those guys, especially if he's able to execute back-to-back championships, something Larry Bird never did.
Well, right.
Even you look at Giannis is another guy that I think, you know, when we're talking about nationally, that might get more respect than Tatum. It's just, and that's why I said it's going to have to be until he gets to the NBA Finals, wins the Finals MVP, and then I think people will give him the respect that they should be giving him, but for whatever reason, they're, you know, whether it's his personality, people don't like his personality, doesn't say much. We heard it after the beginning of the playoffs this year, like, oh, he's not a killer, he don't have this, he don't have that. I mean, you were beating the drum a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's part of it. When you look at players in the NBA right now, if you had to take the current players and say, all right, I'm taking that player to build the team around, Jason Tatum should be number one on the list. He does it all. Find me another player who does what Tatum does. I don't think there is.
See, I think a lot of people would take SGA.
But SGA, I don't think SGA.
They're very similar when it comes to like their what did you call it earlier? The alpha like or
their personalities.
Personalities very similar, I think.
Right, they're very similar. And I think SGA is a great player, but I think and he's not this, you know, super like vocal alpha on the team.
No.
I would take for me, because I think Tatum's a little bit better defender than SGA. He's longer, he's got better length. I think Tatum's a little bit better shooter when it comes to 3-point land. So I would take him over SGA, not knocking SGA, but people, he hasn't won a chip yet.
And the other thing is in this sport more than any other, we seek reasons why great players on championship teams are better than we may already perceive them to be. We were rushing to say Kobe's the greatest. We were rushing to say LeBron was the greatest. We all agreed that Jordan was the greatest. Tatum is the only one of this collection where, for whatever reason, the national conversation is to find out why he isn't something as opposed to saying he is. And I don't know. I think that's mostly anti-Boston bias. Like, I think national...
Or anti-Celtics or both. Right?
I just think people are tired of talking about Boston teams winning all the time. They're sick and tired of the overly active and engaged Boston sports fan on the internet that occasionally will go after hosts who say bad things about their team. And Boston fans consume media at a rate much higher than those in other markets, so if you say something negative about their best player, you will likely get more clicks.
Game one tonight, you can talk about it all day long here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. tomorrow, 2 for Tuesday on this show and on this radio station. That means you can win 2 Red Sox tickets every hour, starting at 8:30 with us. 781 text, Curtis, listening late on the app. Why is Alex Cora afraid to ask Rafi to help out when they need it? I don't know that we said that specifically.
I don't think afraid is the word I would use. I would say he's hesitant because they have found themselves in a sweet spot after the disastrous start of camp when Devers arrived.
I understand him being cautious about it. I mean, the beginning of the season was not great for the relationship between he and Rafi Devers, I'm sure, because it did seem like there was going to be some type of competition between the two, between Devers and Bregman, and I'm sure Devers was told that, and then there really wasn't a competition at all.
Okay, so now Alex Cora is supposed to be afraid of Rafael Devers and of, like, asking him, hey, do you mind playing first for a little while?
Like, I think he's afraid. I agree with Curtis. I think it's more like they found something good.
Well, he's, like, tiptoeing around it. Like
Devers, he probably talked to Devers, and Devers is probably like, you know what?
Greg, just because you can't tiptoe doesn't mean you should rip others.
Devers probably feels like, I feel comfortable at the DH right now.
I understand that.
Right.
But there are situations at all times in life where you are asked to do other things to help. And if Alex Cora can ask, and if he's, you know, if it goes into some kind of a tantrum or into the fetal position or whatever, he doesn't have to do it.
The power struggle, though? Who do you think has more power? Because I would have said Cora, but the way Kennedy's been waxing poetic about Breslow, and it's the organization, I believe, which you alluded to earlier, Greg and Wiggy, about service time, that the organization sides with Breslow and says, put the guy that's already here that we're paying $30 million plus at first. We're not going to rush up the best prospect to play a position that he won't be playing in the future.
And I could see that. I could see them going, all right, you know what? Financially, it's better for us to put Devers there. You know, he'll work through some things. And then we DH Yoshida. Now we don't have, what, $90 million sitting on the bench, and maybe that's the way they look at it from a financial standpoint, you know. But I think that if Cora feels like, all right, by putting him at first base now could potentially lead to some other issues, which where if he's not very good or if he struggles a little bit, now are people gonna, you know, criticize Devers about his fielding? They were already criticizing him at a position that he had basically played his whole life, which is third base. What now happens when we move him to first base?
Well, but you're going to get the same result with Roman Anthony, who's never really played the position before, maybe back to Little League or whatever. But
I think people might be a little bit more patient with Roman Anthony in the sense of, oh, okay, he might make some mistakes there and be cool with it. Where I feel like with Devers, they'll come after him even more for making some errors at first base. You know, and just keep him at DH. He seems to be doing fine there. And you could figure out first base with other guys that are going to be better for the team and are going to be better for the individuals that are there. You know, we know that baseball is a mind game for these players. So why potentially throw Devers back out there to the Wolves to get criticized and then maybe it affects his performance at the plate?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If, you know, Curtis, Curtis is out one day, and we ask you to fill in on the weather, would that affect your stellar performance the rest of the show?
No, not me, but I'm different. I'm built different than Devers. I welcome the challenge, so I don't have an issue.
The weather challenge?
Yeah, I welcome it.
Have you ever done it?
You've
never played the weather position on this show?
Never on this show, but I've done the...
Oh, did you do it at Jammin?
I've done...
What was the station you were on?
Hot 96.9.
Oh, did you do the weather?
I
don't think we knew this.
I don't think I did the weather, but I did the...
Celebrity birthdays?
No, I did the sports...
horoscopes?
Trending.
Second date update?
I did that. So I've done some stuff throughout my journey.
Oh, you did the sports headlines?
Yeah, I did that. Really? You know.
I think that you would bring some pizzazz to the weather and to news. Yeah. Whatever you do, Wiggy, I think you do it well.
If there would just be a large amount of high pressure.
Yeah, I got no issues with stepping in to do the weather when Curtis is not here or Shine can't do it or Jackson can't do it. I got no issues at all.
Yeah,
we still need him to drive one day.
I did the news.
Yeah.
I've done the news before. The driving pot, I could do the driving pot.
I know.
We might go a little bit off-roading.
Which is fun.
How's your clock management
That
skills?
Might be an issue.
Okay.
But then again, you know, like, hey, listen, Ken, it's not about the clock. It's about the content.
I have a question,
Learned
Greg.
Learned that in Radio 101.
Yes, given Greg. That it's Cinco de Mayo,
yes.
I have nachos on the brain. We already know the worst nachos. You don't have to go down that road.
Yeah.
Best, if you could only go to one place within the vicinity of this radio station for nachos, where would it be?
Number one.
Ooh. Loco.
I had my place, but they closed it down.
Loco has the best nachos.
What would you say makes them the best?
Because it's either the meat, if you could do steak, you could do chicken. I always do chicken on it, but yeah. it's layered perfectly. It's not just all the toppings on top. It's like you've got cheese and toppings within.
The best one is Guy Fieri's place.
Trash can nachos.
Yeah, they used to be above the TD Garden. They're not there no more, but I think he still has another restaurant around the city.
Yeah, that does. Down by Boston Common, down on Tremont Street.
And they do their trash can nachos in there. They are hands down the best because everything is together.
Is there any dish or app, whatever you want to refer to nachos as, more up and down? Like, when they're done right, they are the greatest thing.
Yeah.
But when they're easily messed up.
Yeah. Yes.
It's something that should be a lot easier than it is. I mean, cheesecake back in the day used to have the best nachos. Oh, my God. The best nachos ever had.
You have to cook them for a solid amount of time because you want the cheese. If you're layering properly, you want the cheese that is in the middle
right.
to be as well done as the cheese that's on the top. So right. you have to cook. Oftentimes, they're undercooked nachos, right. I feel like.
I would say this to Curtis's point. I would say that most places, 80%, 85% of the places do them wrong. It's very hard to find a place that does good nachos because most places don't layer them. So once you get past the kind of the top,
yeah.
all the bottom usually are stuck
it's
to the paper.
Chips.
It's yeah, it's stuck
chips.
To the paper, and there's no like, yeah. there's really no cheese, there's no meat, there's none of all the other things that come with it. So I would say that the majority of places don't do them well.
And
it's
other
harder
than Chime,
to find the good ones.
Other than Chime, do you know of a single person that has taken nachos to go?
No. Because you
couldn't
can't,
finish them, took them home. What do you want?
Can't really heat them up.
Yeah, you can.
If you were going to get Mexican today, because it's Cinco de Mayo. What are entree wise? We talked about fajitas earlier.
Yeah.
Does anybody like empanadas?
Love empanadas.
No.
Oh, God.
You do?
How do you not? It's just meat, cheese inside of like fried dough.
Not a big fan of them.
No, me neither. I like the.
What do you not like pierogies either?
I like enchiladas.
All right.
That's my go.
Enchiladas are good.
A little mole sauce and that.
Yeah,
puppy,
the
boom.
Mole sauce.
Is it the birria taco?
The birria.
Birria taco. Those are good. They have like a good meat and the cheese, and it's almost like the cheese connects the top of the taco together, if that makes sense.
Huh. Like it binds it.
Yes, it binds it. That's a great way to put it.
Bind is a good word.
So yeah. it almost makes it like a taco beef patty?
Yes, kind of. It's really good.
I can never get past the fajita, so I don't really have much knowledge, unless it's a quesadilla. I like it, but I'm always a
fajita. I like a taco salad, too.
I don't get the taco salad thing.
Just have a taco.
Right.
Well, then you get more
in
the taco salad, and especially if it's in, like, a taco bowl.
Yeah, no, it's just a salad. It's not a taco salad. It's like a salad that they're delivering with a taco on the side. Like
when you're waiting for it to arrive, you just keep saying, arriba, arriba.
Yeah.
Arriba, arriba,
La Carreta has the best taco salad.
All right, we have got to take a break. A reminder that we are going to play your Hill Notes back in about 20 minutes, so you still have time to leave one on the Odyssey app microphone upper right-hand corner. Voice note on any topic. We'll play the best ones back coming up.